Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Friday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and you know, I did say
Friday. Start spreading the news.
Of course, means Schomburg Stu is joining me today. Stu, how are you?
Okay, after a week of vacation, I'm ready to go.
There you go. So, all right, if you'd like to call into the podcast and talk to Stu, because I know nobody wants to talk to me, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up over there on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so something should be popping up there. Oh, sometime tomorrow morning, hopefully. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link. Get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. And, you know, you went all the way over there. You might as well like that, right? Don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Of course, Stu, sadly, is still not on Twitter, but feel free to reach out to me at Burke Time, and I can pretty much forward any questions you have for Stu along, so there you go. All right, so, you know, obviously the big news here in Chicago is the Bears actually traded up in the draft to get a quarterback. They went from 20 to 11 to get Justin Fields, the Ohio State quarterback. Of course, in true Bears fashion, they gave up way too much. They gave up their first this year with, I think it was a fourth or fifth, and then they gave up a first next year with another fourth and a fifth. So it's going to be quite a ton. You know, I mean, this kid could turn out to be a really good quarterback. I think my problem, Stu, and I want to get your opinion on this, I don't have a lot of confidence that Matt Nagy can develop a quarterback. I mean, he didn't have any luck with Trubisky. What makes us think he's going to do any better with this guy?
That's a good question. And really, when you think about it, the quarterback they selected has a couple of problems that they have to work on, and my question immediately when I saw the deal was that can they correct the problem that he has, which is, number one, he fumbles too many times, and number two, the most important one, is that he takes a little bit too much time to throw to a receiver, which would not be a good thing to do in the NFL.
So, yeah, you know, the thing that was the big report on him was he likes to wait to throw the football until the receiver is open, where in the NFL you have to throw receivers open. You know, and this is fine and good. You know, when he's playing at Ohio State and you've got the some of the cupcakes they play on their schedule, you know, with their elite athletes, that's fine. You can go ahead and wait for your receiver to open up and do that. When you get to the NBA, not so much. You heard the NBA, the NFL. I don't know where the hell the NBA came from. But, yeah, when you get to the NFL, I mean, it's a faster game. It's a different game. And, you know, rarely are your receivers going to break away to be completely open unless there's a blown coverage. So
exactly
you know, he can make this adjustment. It's not too difficult. We'll just have to see if Nagy and that coaching staff are the coaches to get it done. And I think that's my biggest issue with the pick is, you know, this coaching staff hasn't proven anything.
And what about their longevity? If they tank again this upcoming season, is Nagy gone?
Yeah, you know, you do wonder how much time this buys Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace as well. You know, Ryan Pace is in just as much trouble as Matt Nagy is, and you know, at this point, I'd almost feel bad for anybody who had to follow Ryan Pace now that he's given away my draft pick for next year. You know, I mean, he's been a complete clown show since being hired as the general manager. So it's clear that he obviously didn't learn anything working in the New Orleans Saints front office, because while they've continued to prosper, all the Bears have done is flounder. So, you know, and don't give me the, oh, well, they were a playoff team last year. Yeah, they were 8-8, and look how the first round went. So don't give me
well.
That garbage. Yeah.
Yeah, one of the things that worried me about this when I saw the selection was, is this a desperation move on the part of the Bears, or is it actually a good decision on their part? But the first part of it bothers me quite a bit.
Yeah, you know, and in a way, I mean, you know, everybody had Justin Fields going really early. So for him to actually end up falling to 11 where the Bears got him is, you know, a little bit of a surprise that he, you know, he was still hanging around there. But, you know, there's a reason for it. You know, the 49ers were the team that made the big move up early on to get the third pick, and they passed on Fields to go with Trey Lance. Now, you got to realize Trey Lance has played one football game in almost a year and a half because North Dakota State canceled his season. Also, he went to North Dakota State, not Ohio State. So you have to wonder what the 49ers saw in Trey Lance, who probably has a really good chance of not being the starter when week one rolls around, compared to a Justin Fields who played at a big-time program and in a national championship game. You got to wonder what the difference was.
Well, you have to worry about this decision on the Bears' part, because other teams must have looked at him and said, wait a minute, he's not a 4 or 5, and letting him go all the way to 11 has to bother me a little bit, and wondering if what the reason for that was.
Yeah, well, you know, like I can understand, you know, once you got past 3, you know, there were a multitude of teams that came up that didn't need quarterbacks. So I can understand them passing. And I, you know, the only other teams really looking for quarterbacks were the Bears, the Washington football team, and the New England Patriots. Now, you damn well knew the Patriots weren't moving up in the first round, no matter how hard these idiots on television tried to convince you that they needed to do that and they were going to do that. That probably wasn't even considered in New England. They stayed at 15 and still pretty got their guy because Mac Jones fell to them. So they got their quarterback anyways without having to spend the draft capital the Bears did. Now, the Bears needed to move up at least in front of Washington to probably land Justin Fields, because I don't think he gets by them if they were to stay there. So I can understand them moving up. I still think they gave up way, way too much, because, you know, you were looking at teams like the Cowboys weren't drafting a quarterback. The Chargers weren't drafting. There was an outside chance the Vikings may have taken him, but I didn't see that. The Patriots were going to take a quarterback, but it was going to be Mac Jones. Then it was the Cardinals, the Raiders, and the Dolphins again. None of those teams were taking quarterbacks. So they just had to move up ahead of Washington, who was one pick ahead of them. But instead, they jumped up 9 spots. I guess this was probably another Ryan Pace panic move, like with Mitchell Trubisky, where he moved up from 3 to 2 because the 49ers convinced him other teams wanted to come up there. I'm sure the Giants did a nice job of selling him and getting him to overpay. so they could eat up some more of the Bears draft picks. And you know, it we'll see. Hopefully this guy works out, but again, I'm not confident in this coaching staff developing him because they couldn't do it with Trubisky.
Now the plan right now for the Bears, I assume, is to have him sit as a second string and learn from Dalton. Heaven forbid.
That would make sense, but you know how it is with these guys. When they draft them in the first round, there's a rush to play them, even if they're not ready. So it'll be interesting to see if he doesn't start week one, just how long it is before he becomes the starter. And what I find really stupid, and again, I attribute this to these morons on television, they seem to forget that Patrick Mahomes only started the final week in his rookie season. You know, he only played, it was technically week 17, but it was the 16th game of the year for the Chiefs, while Alex Smith played the first 16 games. And now Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the NFL. So, you know, and I get the teams like the Jaguars who took Trevor Lawrence and the Jets that took Zach Wilson have to put these guys in immediately. They don't have anybody else. But it'll be interesting to see how the Bears and the 49ers and even the Patriots who have Cam Newton handle this with their guys. So it'll be interesting.
It may not be a very good season for the Bears, but it might turn out to be an interesting one at least.
Yeah, you know, I mean, like, I don't think this improves them win-wise. I think they're still a 6 or 7 win team, you know, at best. So we'll see how it works out. And maybe down the road this is their problem, you know, or this solves their problem at least at quarterback. You know, of course, the other issue they have is by giving away a first-round pick next year, they can't get anything to help this kid now.
No, that's true.
So, you know, I mean, and the big question, they do have some weapons. You know, Allen Robinson is definitely considered a weapon. I believe he's highly overrated, but he is a weapon. You know, David Montgomery played better down the stretch, so maybe he's getting a hang of that offense. They'll get Tariq Cohen back, so that'll help out. But the big question is, it's a good thing Justin Fields is mobile because I don't know if they can protect him.
That is a problem they're going to have to contend with. Yeah, that I don't see too much in the way of protection for him. And if he does start any of the games and the way he takes his time throwing, he could be in for some hurt, a little bit of hurt.
So, yeah, you know, it'll be interesting to see how they kind of move along with that or what they end up doing. You know, because I don't know, fortunately Pace has had luck later in the draft. You know, the Bears do have the 52nd pick coming up tonight, so that's the 20th pick of round two. I don't believe they have a third-round pick. I thought they traded that away. No, they are sitting at 20 in the third round. So they'll get two picks tonight. Maybe they can add a decent offensive lineman. You know, I don't know who's going to be out there or, you know, how it'll kind of work out for them. But maybe they can find a guy. Hopefully that's what they're looking for, but you never know with this team.
I saw some of the, before the actual draft, some of the fantasy selections for the Bears when they were scheduled to be number 20 was that they were looking for some kind of lineman as their prediction for the Bears in that 20 slot, which they certainly need,
that was,
of course.
If they would have stayed at 20, that probably would have been the pick. You know, if it would have worked out that way, it would have made sense for them to go that way. you know, they may have a shot at landing. I know there's a couple other linemen. There's a Notre Dame tackle out there, and actually another kid from North Dakota State who could possibly be available when the Bears pick. It's more likely that the center from Alabama, a lineman by the name of Landon Dickerson, maybe the top-rated lineman on the board when the draft rolls around to the Bears with this pick. So we'll see if that's where they go, or you know what the plan is with them. You know, they also got to find a way to replace Kyle Fuller, so they're going to need a defensive back.
Yeah.
So they,
for sure.
I wouldn't be surprised to see them go that route and then just try to hit on some linemen later. Because a lot of teams do that.
That sounds like some logical selections, and sometimes the Bears are not known for their logical selections.
Yeah. So we'll see.
I do have a question for you, by the way. I need your expertise on something here. We touched earlier, you were talking about the difference between quarterbacking in college and in the NFL. In your opinion, the top quarterbacks in the NFL, when they throw, do they throw to actually where the receiver is or where the receiver is supposed to be and the pattern that he's running?
Yeah, no, they throw to where he's supposed to go. You know, wherever that route is supposed to take him, the quarterback tries to lead him into that route. Because obviously the advantage the receiver has over the defensive back is he knows where he's supposed to go and the defensive back doesn't. So,
yeah,
you know, the quarterback.
That's what I thought you would say. And that's the thing that worries me about Fields. Can he adapt to that NFL style of play under the coaching regime?
You know, that's the one thing he's going to have to learn. That's the big adjustment he's going to have to make. So we'll see if he can do it or not.
Well, one exhibition game, or are they going to play two this year? Two exhibition games? I don't know, but he'll have it down to a science.
Yeah.
So he'll have those two games to work on, and he'll be ready to roll and start his NFL career.
So yeah, well, you know, that obviously that's best case scenario is, you know, hopefully he picks it up quickly and you know they move along, but we'll see. You know, again, I fully believe that this kid is a great athlete. I just don't believe that this is the team that can develop him.
And if they don't develop in the way they're gone. I think they'll be gone.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, in reality, they both should have been gone after this year. They should be starting over with a new staff, but, you know, the Bears don't like to pay coaches and general managers to not do the job they were hired for. So they'll let them run out their contracts before they cut them loose. You know, it's rare that the Bears can a coach or a general manager with time left on their contract.
Yeah, exactly. You'd like to think that one time, just one time, the Bears will get lucky and actually wind up with a good quarterback. I mean, it's been I've forgotten the last time they had one who was a top of the line elite quarterback.
Yeah, well, they haven't had one of those guys in a very long time. You know, obviously they've had some, you know, some good quarterbacks. You know, Jim McMahon was a good quarterback, so you know that worked out here. He wasn't great, you know, not Hall of Fame type quarterback level, but. You know, they won a Super Bowl with him. He was a very good quarterback. Yeah, you know, I mean, other than that, it's just been guys who are kind of solid or they've tried to reach with guys. You know, remember they actually traded for Rick Meyer after he was a bust in Seattle. They picked up Chad Hutchinson after he was a bust in Dallas. You know, they spent a number one on guys like Rex Grossman and Cade McNown. And Grossman was okay. Not. I wouldn't even put him as good. He was just okay. The funny thing about that is the better deal may have been if they would have just tried to develop Kyle Orton. They may have had something there. But they were tied to Grossman.
Yeah, had a solid career.
Yeah.
Orton had a solid NFL career.
I think under today's rules,
that McMahon would have been a better quarterback. He would have been close
really?
To an elite-type quarterback because they protect the quarterback so much now.
So, yeah, you know, I mean, he was definitely good. You know, no doubt about that. But, yeah, you just – it's difficult when you think of Bears quarterbacks to get one that comes to mind. You know, I mean, you've got to go way, way back to get an elite Chicago Bears quarterback. And I don't know if you could say that about any other team.
Hey, remember one thing, that the first year I started following the Bears, Sid Luckman was at the helm. He was pretty good.
Yeah, and the sad part is he may be the last elite quarterback that the Bears have ever had. You know, I mean, working your way through the list. I mean, I think when I started watching him, I think Bobby Douglas was the quarterback. So.
Yeah, that was pretty laughable decision on the Bears' part to have Bobby Douglas as a quarterback, who had one of the greatest arms that you ever wanted to see and was a truly terrific athlete.
Yeah, well, you know, the humorous thing in today's game, with Douglas's skill set, he may have been very successful, because didn't he run for almost 1,000 yards one year?
Oh, he could do it all except to be a good quarterback. I mean, he could throw the ball 80 yards on the field. I mean, the guy was a super athlete.
So, you know, you do wonder, you know, how someone like that would do with today's NFL. You know, and that, you know, remember Vince Evans had a very similar skill set. He was a fantastic runner with a strong arm, but had a difficulty completing passes. You know, he was kind of Michael Vick before Michael Vick came into vogue. He had some success with the Raiders later in his career. Not a lot, but a little bit. And you do wonder how a guy like that would do in today's NFL, because the game is more suited to those guys.
Yeah. I believe it was Evans. I seem to remember that Evans, in the last play of the game in the Thanksgiving nationally televised game, tied the game against Detroit with a run, I think, to end the game. And then the Bears wound up winning it in overtime.
Yeah, you know, that wouldn't surprise me with, you know, the way, you know, with his athletic ability at all, that he was able to do something like that. But, yeah, he just...
erratic quarterback, though. He was very erratic as a quarterback.
Yeah.
To say the least.
Yeah, that would be a polite way to look at it, you know, and I know, you know, you start going back, and, you know, not too far back. And, I get that, you know, Jay Cutler had the skill set but just could never quite put it together. So, you know, that just didn't work out. You know, Jim Miller had one really good year here. So did Eric Kramer.
Yeah, he did.
But those aren't guys you would call elite. You know, Jim Harbaugh held down the starting job for multiple years, but – you know, again, he was no way an elite quarterback. So.
Yeah, it's been a long time, that's for sure.
Yeah, maybe, back to Billy Wade in the 60s? Would you call him elite? I mean, obviously, I didn't see him play, but.
I saw him play, and he was a plotter. I mean, he was solid, but the Bears didn't win because of his offense. They won because of their great defense.
Yeah, and, you know, to be fair, you know, they did have George Blanda for a couple seasons. Obviously, I think he made his career more as a kicker, but he did, you know, have a long career in the NFL. So
they, a very long career, and the Bears gave him away, really, for virtually nothing, and that was a bad decision on their part because he had a wonderful career in the AFL with Oakland.
Yeah. So, yeah, God, I can't – he played for, geez, I don't even know how many seasons it ended up being, because he, you know, he hung around so long as a kicker. So
yeah, he was a great kicker too.
You know, yeah, that helped. Yeah, let's see if I can find it here. Yeah, he started his career in 1949 and played till 1975. So 26 years in the NFL.
Did the Bears have Bobby Lane at one time as their quarterback before getting rid of him very quickly in his career? I'm trying to remember now.
I mean, what year would that have been? I don't think so. It doesn't look like.
No, long about the time when Lujic was playing also as their quarterback.
You know, if they did, oh yeah, here, 1948, Bobby Lane played one game for them. So
how can I possibly remember that? I was younger than young then, but I thought I remember him playing for the Bears. I didn't know it was only one game.
Just one game in Chicago in 1948. So, and then, of course, he went on to be, he was a pretty good quarterback for Detroit for a long time.
You remember that 48 game, right? I'm sure you do.
Yeah, I do. So... yeah, he actually played in 11 games for them, but he only started one. So he must have filled in kind of multiple times as the year went on. So.
Yeah, it's another one they got away from the Bears.
Yeah, it just kind of the sad history of the Bears there when it comes to quarterbacks. It's funny when you look up the list because, I remember the names, guys like Gary Huff and Bob Avellini, and then I remember they made the big trade to get Mike Phipps. He was supposed to be the guy to come in and kind of save the franchise, and that didn't work out at all. So then some guys who just kind of had to fill in, Rusty Lish and Greg Landry and, of course, who could forget Steve Fuller. So
Steve was another plotter. He was actually, solid for the limited amount of ability he had as a quarterback.
Yeah, Steve Fuller was the perfect backup quarterback. He wasn't going to hurt you. He didn't turn the ball over. So.
Yeah, he was, as you say, he was a solid backup quarterback.
That was his, the perfect place for them. And then, you can't forget guys like, they had Chris Chandler was brought in and kept getting hurt, and they had Cordell Stewart that they were going to take advantage of his unique skill set. And, neither of those guys worked out. So
that's what I'm saying. They're overdue for a break, aren't they?
Yeah, you think just out of dumb luck you would hit on one.
Yeah, I keep telling myself that.
You know, maybe, because you would think even if they didn't hit on him in the first round, they could have hit on one of these guys later in the draft, but they still haven't. So maybe this is it. So.
Yeah, it's hard for me to look forward to a 5-win season coming up or a 6-win season.
Oh, but enough about the Bears. I do want you to answer me something because I didn't really understand this. All the reports are that Aaron Rodgers has now told the Packers that he doesn't want to be a Packer anymore after not really saying anything. What I can't figure out, Stu, is why the hell did he wait until draft day to do this and not put it out earlier where the Packers possibly could have moved him with teams running to them with offers? Because basically now that the first round is over, I doubt he's going anywhere this season. Do you?
I don't anticipate him moving this season at all. He's going to be with the Packers for this year. And is that the end of his contract, the end of this next season?
I'm not quite sure. I believe he has more than that left, but let's see if I can hunt it down here while we're while we're talking about it. You know, then the other question for me would be, say, and I can understand the Packers wanting to move a disgruntled player. I have no problem with that. What the hell do you got to give up to get Aaron Rodgers? How many first-round picks does it take to get him?
Yeah, you have to take that into consideration. And when he said he doesn't want to be a Packer anymore, did he indicate why?
Of course not. You know, he's been disgruntled for a little bit. And he has 2 more years remaining on his contract.
Okay.
So, and the humorous thing that I found out is if the Packers actually wait till after June 1st to deal him, it's less of a cap hit for them. So if they do decide to trade him, it definitely won't be until after June 1st.
Yeah, that's right.
And so, yeah, because, you know, you're talking about the guy. Well, obviously, you know, Mahomes is the number one quarterback in the NFL. Rodgers is probably clearly number two.
Well, Rodgers is not a youngster anymore, though. Don't forget that. As compared to Mahomes.
With the rules now, these guys can play. You know, Tom Brady's going to be, 40, whatever. And he's, you know, so as long, you know, they can play till they're 45 if they want. So that's the question. I mean, does it take 5 first-round pick to get Aaron Rodgers?
It's going to be a hell of a package, that's for sure.
So, you know, because apparently the Denver Broncos have already reached out. So, you know, you've got to wonder what they would be willing to give up. I mean, do you give up the guy you just drafted? I think they took Patrick Surtain in the first round. You know, do you give up him with multiple other first-round draft picks? And it may take even more to land a guy like that.
Do you see him going after this next after the next season?
You know, I'm not quite sure what, you know, because, like, what I don't understand is what his issue is. Because he's on a winning team. And legitimately a team that can contend for the Super Bowl. You know, they were trying to restructure his contract. You know, like he's due close to, I think it's $15 million this year, but then it jumps to $25 for the final 2 years of his deal. So, you know, while I get he wants Patrick Mahomes' money, I mean, everybody does. You know, you can't blame him for that because that's what everybody's getting. You signed the contract.
Yeah.
You know, did you think the market was going to continue to go up? That's just bad business on your part. And don't give me this crap about long-term security, because 1 year of that contract should give you long-term security.
Absolutely. And I don't like it when an athlete tries to renegotiate either, and that's happened before.
Yeah. You know, and, you know, like I know the Packers wanted to restructure so they could have a little more money to try to sign free agents. Well, Rodgers didn't do the, you know, didn't help them out. It wouldn't have cost him any money. He would have still made the exact same amount of money, maybe more.
Yeah.
So now they didn't sign anybody, so he's going to cry about that when they were trying to do it. You know, like everybody's complaining now that, oh, they didn't draft him any help in the first round. Well, they were really bad against the pass last year, so they took the best cornerback on the board. That makes a lot more sense to me than reaching for a wide receiver, because you have a number one wide receiver already in Devonta Adams. You can find help later in the draft with wide receiver. So, you know, the media is just idiots when it comes to this kind of stuff, and it really ticks me off. So,
in
you know,
the
they need to shed
draft.
The right
previous
thing.
Year's draft, didn't the Packers pick a quarterback in the previous year's draft and that got him upset?
Yeah, they took a quarterback number one with their first-round pick, Jordan Love, last year, and he pouted about it. Because he wanted a wide receiver, like every quarterback does. You know, it doesn't matter how bad your team is. Every quarterback wants another wide receiver.
Yeah, of course. And you certainly can't fault his performance for last season. That's for sure.
No. You know, but, you know, and they've had problems now going back to when they hired Matt LaFleur, you know, because he brought in a different system, you know, and Rodgers pouted about it the first year and didn't have a very good first year, but bounced back last year and was MVP. So I don't understand what the complaints are here.
Yeah, I hate to think that he's developing a prima donna attitude, but maybe that's the elite quarterback in him asserting itself.
Yeah, you know, and, you know, it is possible. You know, he's an engaged man now, and the actress that he's engaged to just happens to live in Boulder, Colorado. So, you know, maybe she doesn't want to move to Green Bay. I can't blame her there. Not that Green Bay isn't a nice town, but I would hate the weather there because I hate the weather here, and it's pretty much the same. So,
Boulder, Colorado either, by the way. They have a share of bad weather there, too.
Yeah, but the skiing is better. So.
That's right. The skiing makes up for it.
You also wonder, he was lobbying to try to get the Jeopardy gig full-time because he was one of the fill-in hosts. So you wonder if, you know, maybe he wants to try to be out west where he could do that. Kind of a la LeBron James, who wanted to go out west because he was starting his production company. You know, there's a lot that goes into this, but I find it hard to believe that any of this is football related because he's on a winner. You know, I mean, I could see if you played for the Jets and you wanted to get out of town, you know, or Deshaun Watson before we found out he started to molest women, basically, allegedly, I should add in there.
That's right.
I could understand wanting to get out of Houston. They're a horrible team. You're a quality quarterback. That makes sense. But, you know, I mean, this team went to the NFC Championship last year. They're, you know, odds-on favorite to probably go back again. So what's the problem?
Yeah, maybe he'd like to play in Los Angeles, as you suggest, with his lifestyle.
Yeah, you know, the only problem is the Rams just traded for a quarterback, and the Chargers have one of the best young quarterbacks in the NFL, and Justin Herbert. There isn't much of an opening there.
No, not at all. But that doesn't prevent him from wishing that he could play there, I'm sure.
You know, I mean, I won't be surprised if the Raiders are one of the teams that get involved with this because for whatever reason, even though he had a really good season last year, John Gruden just seems to want to get rid of Derek Carr. So, you know, I won't be surprised if we hear the Raiders' name come up very quickly with this. You know, that's just something they do. But, you know, other than that, I don't see a lot of teams jumping up, you know, like I don't expect like Washington to give away the farm to get them. Maybe Denver is that place that is going to be dumb enough to do it. But, you know, I mean, adding Rodgers to the Broncos, does that make them a contender with the Chiefs? He's really not changing his situation. He's going from the NFC where he runs into Tom Brady and the Buccaneers to the AFC where he runs into Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs.
Yeah, maybe he would consider playing there because of his current girlfriend, although he has gone through a few other ones in over his career too, hasn't he?
To be fair, this is the first one he ever got engaged to, so maybe this one is a little more on the serious side, but who knows? You know how these things go.
Yeah,
but, you know, other than that, there aren't a lot of landing spots for this guy. You know, most teams are locked in with what they're going to do. Carolina probably could use him because they did just pick up Sam Darnold's last option year, but they could swap him in the deal, even though they did just acquire him. But you know, you add Rodgers to the Panthers, and he won't even get in the playoffs. You know, at least with Denver, he would probably find his way into the wild card because they got some quality young receivers. I can't figure out this complaint.
Would Gruden actually be interested in acquiring Rodgers, you think?
Like, you know, he
doesn't like Carroll that much.
A couple of years. So maybe. You know, but
I that would make,
you know,
that would improve I think that would give a good shot in the arm to the Raiders if he could pull off that deal without giving away too much.
Yeah, you know, the only problem is I still don't think it makes them a playoff team either. I mean, maybe they sneak into the wild card, but they're not going to the Super Bowl.
No, I wouldn't put them up that high, that's for sure.
You know, and again, I mean, you know, if he's going to pout about what the Packers are drafting, how's he going to feel when he goes to a team that doesn't have any first-round picks because they gave him away for him?
Yeah, when it's all said and done, he'll probably stay with the Packers.
Yeah, and I do wonder, and maybe I should have brought this up to you earlier because maybe this is the question, is it just money? If they come up with a bigger contract for him and he's on par with the, you know, what the Patrick Mahomes-type quarterbacks make, does that satisfy him and he shuts up?
Maybe that'll happen, but he makes a pretty good buck right now. I mean, he shouldn't be complaining about what he's getting.
No, but, you know, they do. You know, I mean, we hear it all the time from these athletes about, you know, and, you know, to be fair, technically, he is underpaid as far as, you know, quarterbacks go. But again, you know, he signed the long-term deal because he wanted the security.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
and this is not the first athlete that it's happened to. I mean, they're very happy to sign a long-term deal, financial security for life. And then two or three years down the road, they find that they're underpaid by current NFL standards, and they want a new deal.
So, you know, it just kind of, you know, one of those situations that, you know, unfortunately, the media is going to talk about incessantly and just continue to beat us over the head with it. And like looking here, Rodgers will actually be the eighth highest paid quarterback coming into this season. Now he is behind quite a few guys he's better than. Matthew Stafford is 7, Jimmy Garoppolo is 6, Russell Wilson is 5, Matt Ryan is 4, Deshaun Watson is 3, Dak Prescott is 2. And then, of course, Patrick Mahomes is number 1. You know, with the exception of Mahomes and maybe Wilson, who is definitely a top quarterback, he's better than any of those other guys.
Definitely, no question about it.
So, you know, I do wonder if maybe a little more money in the kitty sets him up and he's a happy camper again.
It's possible. Interesting about some of these guys that they want to, they decide that they're underpaid and they want to get more money. What happens if a guy has a contract for a decent amount of money and then tanks for the next 3 seasons, has 3 bad years? Is he going to go to management and say, hey, I didn't do the job I was supposed to do. I want you to cut my salary.
Yeah, no, that doesn't happen anymore. But I do remember going way back now in baseball, reading a story about, I believe it was Hank Greenberg, who won the MVP with it. It may have been the Red Sox. And he went to the owner and asked for a raise. And the team finished in last place the year he won the MVP. And the owner's comments to him was, we could have finished in last without you. That was never
a great line. That's a great
right.
line.
That
I like
never
that one.
Guys would pitch a fit.
That's a classic.
So,
that's That's a terrific, that's a good story. I haven't heard that one, but was it with Boston or was it with Detroit? I thought, didn't he play with Detroit?
I thought he played with Detroit, but I swear I read Boston, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was Detroit. So.
Yeah, that's a funny story.
Yeah, you know, but it's the truth. I mean, I get it, you know, and maybe you get a little bit of a raise for winning the MVP, but they didn't win anything. And that's the objective goal is winning.
That's it. That's the name of the game. It reminds me this may be off topic, but it reminds me of a famous Leo DeRosa story when he managed the Cubs. He took over the Cubs and said, this is not an eighth place ball club. And he was right. They wound up in 10th.
Well, that was when took over at Indiana and said he would bring a Rose Bowl team there, and he did by playing, I believe it was USC and UCLA one season. So,
yeah, that's funny. Yeah, Vic, there's some interesting anecdotes out there that are quite amusing.
Yeah, you know, we got round 2 and 3 tonight, and then 4 through 7 tomorrow. So we'll get the draft done and out of the way, and then we won't have to deal with it for, you know, another, 8 months before they start talking about it again?
Yeah. I see tonight's round, tonight's draft is on actually national TV on ABC, the main ABC channel,
yeah.
It
ends up doing so well in the ratings that they put it on. They want those primetime numbers. So,
yeah, last night, I don't know if it's typical last night. It seemed like it dragged first.
Yeah, it's a push-on drag.
It really seemed to drag a long time between selections.
Yeah, well, you know what was funny is I actually turned the draft off right away when the Jaguars didn't make their pick immediately because it's not like we didn't know who they were taking and they let the clock run. And there was just absolutely no reason for them to let the clock run, but they did. So I turned it off and just went back to watching baseball because I'm not going to sit there and, you know, listen to the talking heads yammer on about absolutely nothing. So.
And when it came down to make their selection, they made the selection that everybody knew they were going to make.
Yep, the exact same pick that we thought. But all right, Let's jump into some picks here and see how you do this week. You did go 2-2, technically 2 weeks ago, because we didn't make it last Friday. I had to go to work, so that stunk. But the money was nice. So let's start off tonight. We have the Milwaukee Bucks coming to Chicago to play the Bulls. You got the Bulls pulling off the big upset tonight.
I've got some swampland property to sell you in Florida. I do pick Milwaukee to win tonight's game.
All right. Even though there's a chance that Antetokounmpo may not play, you're still going to go with the Bucks?
I'm still going to go with the Bucks.
All right. Let's get ourselves over to tomorrow night, and we'll find some on-ice action. We have the Florida Panthers are visiting the Blackhawks, who are attempting to hold on to their slim playoff hopes, even though I – don't think it's going to happen. You got the Blackhawks picking up a couple points tomorrow night?
I do not. I'm going to have to go with Florida on this one.
All righty. Then we jump to our Sunday baseball action. The Cubs have a 12-10 game in Cincinnati. It is Trevor Williams for the Cubs against Tyler Molly for the Reds. You got the Cubs picking up a win on Sunday?
Once again, I'm going to have to go against the beloved Cubbies and go with Cincinnati.
No, I don't know. The Cubs did get a big win last night. Let's wrap things up here. We got the White Sox. They're at home. The Indians are in town. It is Zach Plesac for the Tribe. Can I still call him the Tribe? Probably not. And Lucas Giolito takes the hill for the White Sox. Who you got there on Sunday?
Well, Giolito faltered late in the game, but pitched pretty solid. I'm going to have to go with the White Sox on this one.
All right, that's the only Chicago team you're taking this weekend is the White Sox on Sunday. So we will see how that is. You are still a couple games under 500. You're 26-28. So you gotta you need to fall into a couple picks this weekend.
Yeah, I gotta look out and win more than I lose, and better than 500 too. That's for sure.
And we do have, obviously both the Cubs and the Sox are playing tonight. It's Jake Arrieta for the Cubs and Wade Miley for the Reds. And tonight should be a good game against the Indians for the Sox. It's Shane Bieber, who I actually did put in my FanDuel lineup. I was a little hesitant because the White Sox have been hitting, but I'm playing the theory that coming off a doubleheader sweep, they're going to struggle a little. And then it's Dallas Keuchel for the White Sox tonight. So we'll see how that goes.
If I were a betting man, I would go with Cleveland tonight.
Yeah, I was kind of reading up on some stuff before I made my picks, and there were a lot of people leaning towards Gerrit Cole against the Tigers. And I wasn't quite sure. I thought maybe Detroit would kind of be the opposite, be upset that they got swept. Game one was close, but game two they got blown out. So I thought maybe they would have a better game tonight, and we'll see. Luckily it's been working out. I've been managing to get my money back. My other consideration was your guy, Yu Darvish, but I just didn't want to go against the Giants because they've been playing a little better than I think anybody expected. So hopefully it works out.
They're right on top of the Dodgers, aren't they? They're very close to the Dodgers in the standings.
Yeah. Yeah, and maybe you didn't hear this because I know I kind of go around and end up checking everything, and I know you're sadly a little more Chicago-based than I am. The Giants actually have moved into first place because they're 7-3 in their last 10. Only a half a game. They're just a half a game ahead of the Dodgers. But I found it funny that, the Dodgers started off 11-2. They've now went 5-8, and people are concerned. Did they honestly think they were going to win 11 out of every 13 games they played?
That's never been done, as far as I know, in the history of Major League Baseball. That's winning 85% of your games?
Yeah, at least. But there were morons out there. Now, the Dodgers are 16-10, and there are morons out there that are concerned about them because they started off so hot and they've kind of slipped back. They're 16-10. All right. If you want to be concerned about a team, be concerned about the Cubs, who are 11-14 and in last place in the Central.
That's
so,
I'm not concerned anymore about the Cubs because I think they are where they deserve to be based upon their performance this season. I don't see much in the way of improvement.
Turn your concern to the Yankees, who I picked to go to the World Series in the American League and are 11-14. So.
In the meantime, Boston is still hanging in first place.
Yeah, Boston has played really well. Kansas City, Oakland has played very well. What I find kind of interesting is every team in the American League East is 1-500, but the team in last place, the Nationals, are 9-12. They're only one game out of first place.
This is 20% of the game. Not even 20% of the games being played yet. They're talking maybe 15% of the games. So there's a long, long way to go in baseball.
Yeah, and it's not that the East is a bad division in the National League. It's actually one of the better ones. It's just they've been matched up against each other, and they've been knocking each other off. So that's why they're all so tightly banded together where they are. So, technically the Phillies, the Braves, and the Mets are all tied for first place. The Marlins are a half game out, and the Nationals are a game out. So.
Yeah, it's pretty tight, and what about the Atlanta fans? Are they concerned about their team's slow start?
Yeah, well, what's weird is, I haven't heard anybody say it. The only ones I heard of is, somebody mentioned the Dodgers, and then they always talk about the Yankees. It's that East Coast, West Coast kind of thing. And then somebody mentioned the Nationals the other day because, they're off to a little bit of a rough start. But, yeah, other than that, nobody cares about anybody else because they play in the middle of the country.
If Atlanta was doing great, the fans wouldn't be all that excited about it out there in Georgia.
Yeah, it's not like way. So, you know, the Royals have been a nice surprise. You know, they're off to a 15-8 start. You know, they've gotten a lot better pitching than I think anybody expected. So, you know, we'll see how long they hang around. I don't expect them to stay there all year. But, you know, I think the big question is, you know, the Twins have been a huge disappointment at 8-15. You know, and if you, you know, and they're 7 games behind right now. You know, you get too far behind, it just becomes insurmountable to catch up, you know, even this early in the season.
It's been my experience with the Twins. When they start up, like, with a bad start like they have this year, they don't make it up. I mean, they consistently play bad for the entire season.
So, you know, and you do wonder, you know, they inked Josh Donaldson to that big free agent contract a couple years ago, and luckily it's not a long-term deal. He's hitting a little better, but he was hurt last year. He just doesn't look like Josh Donaldson. So I'm wondering if that's going to be out for him.
Yeah, I don't know. It's been a disappointing move so far for the Twins.
So yeah,
who is the consensus pick to win the AL Central, and I don't think it's going to happen.
So they were definitely a big-time hot pick coming in. And Kenta Maeda has struggled. And anytime your pitchers struggle out of the gate, you're going to have problems. There's just no way around that. So, you know, it's just one of those things.
But nationally, who's in first place in the National League Central? Is it Milwaukee?
Yeah, the Brewers are hanging on there. They're actually 15-10. So they, you know, but their pitching has been great. Even though they just did have one of their top two starters, I think it was Corbin Burnes, go on the IL. So.
But that's for, what, 10 days?
Yeah. Yeah, 10 days anytime you're assigned there. I'm adjusting my fantasy lineup to make sure I have starters in tonight so I at least get stats because it drives me nuts when I don't play guys.
Maybe you win a dollar or two tonight.
Now, this is my weekly league that Dan and I do for the...
Okay.
So, we're in the pro... You know, luckily for me, that team got off to a really good start. So, hopefully it will work out for me. So, but I am struggling with early season injuries and my guys keep getting COVID. I don't know why that is.
I meant to look. Maybe you know off the top. We may have time to find out. But what is Darvish's record this year, and what's his ERA? I know he's been inconsistent.
Yeah, I don't know off the top of my head. I know he was really good the first time out, but not so good the
right. Exactly.
And like you said, we're not going to be able to look it up. I know. So I hope you have a good reason. I'll be back on the weekend.